Hi everyone, and welcome once again to the Club Racing UK podcast. It's going to be a bit of an emotional one this week with the current events, especially in the last week. We decided to use this episode to pay tribute to two of the greatest icons in the motorsport fraternity. But before we get onto that, we of course have to introduce you to who else is on the show today. So we have the beard, the Backstreet Boy, and the celebrity on the show tonight. It's Nick Holmes, Stefan Marsh, and Ian Waterhouse. How are we doing, gents?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Hey. All good.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, all.
Evening all, getting ready for the racing season coming up. I know we've all been tinkering away on cars and getting tests done. And
yeah, 100%.
We're getting there, Rob, getting there.
That's exactly what I want
to
hear.
Still 2 weeks to go.
I know.
That is going to drag, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's going to be the longest 2 weeks of our lives.
I don't think it is. to be honest, my car is still in bits. And I've got a lot to do before we go. It doesn't want to be. Considering me and you are going testing on the first at Brands and getting power tested, I kind of need to hurry up with it.
Yeah. Where's your first race, guys? Where are you first racing at?
We're all racing at the TDC on the 11th.
Racetrack around the UK somewhere.
That's not at Donington Park, is it, by any chance?
No, definitely not. I don't know of anyone else attending it.
Because I've got some breaking news actually about that.
No. Oh, really?
What could it be?
I'm delighted to say that I had confirmation today that my supercar will be at Donington Park on the 11th of April doing the track day championship and the track day trophy.
Yes!
Yeah. So we will be there with you guys.
Yes! Hell yeah!
That's exactly.
It would be good if you acted like you didn't, like I hadn't already just told you.
Oh, sorry.
That was an exclusive to us.
That was an exclusive that you found out 15 minutes ago.
I kind of gave the game away, didn't it, boys? But yes, so my supercar will be covering the track day championship and the track day trophy live at Donington Park. We're certainly getting all our stuff ready. And a new feature we are actually putting on the podcast in a couple of weeks' time will be I will get a certain amount of images, have a look through the Club Racing UK social media channel. So if you've got your posts coming up with your photos, tag Club Racing UK, CRUK. Do the usual. I will get a select few on the show if I like the look of what you're racing, and we'll show everyone how busy everyone's getting on. Because let's be honest, guys, as it stands, there are people at the moment doing 6 months' work in 2 weeks just to get ready.
Yeah, but let's be honest, we've all been doing that since we were at school, haven't we? It's true. Oh, shit, my homework's due tomorrow. Ah, quick, do the math. So,
do the maths.
Nothing's going to change, is it?
Exactly. Well,
before we kick off, can I ask one question?
What's that, Nick?
So, in previous episodes, we've spoken about obviously the effects of COVID and things like that,
yes.
And certain places getting grants to pay for obviously to help with the financial situation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am now assuming that the MSV. Got a grant to be able to pay for Ian and my supercar to be there. Obviously, now that they are superstar production team, but
to be honest, Nick, we did cover the fact that it was £6 million for the whole of motorsport. That won't even cover his bar bill.
I do like a pina colada.
There we go. Jonathan Bevan. So we've got some of the usuals coming on. Jonathan Bevan joins us this evening. Jordan Honeybone, he'll be there on the 11th as well. So that'll be good fun, guys.
Hell yeah.
See you there, Jordan.
But with that, excuse me. Right, we may as well get into it, guys. So let's start off with the news.
A little bit of wee in the end of my knob.
Still never gets boring.
Nope.
So the 750 Motor Club, and this is something we are going to cover in a future podcast as well. It's something quite important. The 750 Motor Club have announced that they're doing two new initiatives to do with being carbon zero. So they've been unveiled this season as part of a cooperative drive to ensure that club-level motorsport remains relevant and sustainable in its long-term future. So Race Zero is a brainchild of the All Pulse Trophy organiser Phil Waters, whose forthcoming enterprise, who's been created in partnership with EcoTrailer, aims to offer a service where any UK competitor could buy tokens to offset the carbon output of their race entry. That will be available at the start of the season in April. And the system takes into account your distance travel to the track, what your car does around the track, how much of a gas guzzler it is, carbon out in the atmosphere, blah, 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 blah. So you could buy tokens to go against that. And I assume they take that and they plant trees somewhere. I know there are different schemes in place at the moment that does that. Genuinely. I mean, Stefan, you laugh. There are schemes where you basically go, oh, I'm emitting a bit of carbon. Here's some tokens, go plant some trees. And they do it.
Here's a tree.
Yeah, basically, they plant forests. These schemes, they buy land in like other countries and they plant forests to help soak up all the carbon monoxide and dioxides and basically many oxides of harmfulness.
Yes.
So we can go racing and burn more.
It's a cool idea.
It is. I mean, Race Zero itself.
It's just so we can race guilt-free.
Yeah, I mean, it's also going to be supported and promoted by the 750 Motor Club as a kickstart to their pursuit of being carbon neutral. So that's a good positive way of doing it without saying, oh, by the way, we've all got to switch to electric now, or we've all got to switch to hydrogen. So it's keeping, you know, as much as we are moving in that direction, club racing can't yet, if at all. Yeah. But what they have done is they've pledged to pay the carbon output offset of all the competitors' cars in all the meetings throughout this season. So that's 23 series and championships. So you can't get better than that. That's a proactive way in looking forward.
Well, it's forward thinking. And as you say, it doesn't scare everybody off guard by saying, by the way, you now need to fit an electric motor in your car. And everyone go, ah, and panic.
But does it up the costing of the motorsport?
I'll be honest, I think the 750 Motor Club have taken it on the chin. Now, I think with the way the tokens work, I mean, everything's going up as it is. So eventually, everyone's got to work out what's costing what, where, and how you're going to keep the cost down. But I can see it in the future potentially being added onto a cost somewhere. Nothing's free in this world, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I believe that a lot of the places, or certainly the venues, play sort of an environmental tax anyway. Don't quote me on it. It's just what I've heard. But that will still be contributed towards that anyway. So, yeah, that'll be something else to keep out and on. So well done, 750 Motor Club. The BRSCC confirmed they've amended 2021 race meeting schedule. Obviously, the British Touring Car decided we want some people at our circuits. So they moved around the touring cars and they pissed a lot of people off. So the BRSCC, due to these circumstances,
boring cars.
It's what brings in the money, isn't it?
It
definitely.
Is.
It's inevitable, isn't it? It's a must, yeah. Really, to have touring cars.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong.
The spectators, because the circuit could do the money anyway, couldn't they? With the extra people going, so.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, they've had 18 months of it.
I did hear a little rumor through the many contacts and the grapevine that we have hold of here at Club Racing UK that it was actually Alan Gow was listening to our show last week, and obviously we were gloating about the fact that we got spectators, and he got jealous and he wanted in on it. So,
fact.
That is a fact. So if you are listening again this week, Alan Gow, if there's any other advice you would like, please get in touch.
Yeah, exactly. The Club Racing UK podcast is always willing to impart very good, impartial and proper professional advice to people like yourself. Not as if he made them, you know, made the British Touring Cars what it is over the past 20 years or anything. No. Anyway,
listening to our show last week.
Yeah, I can report as well. We have got an ambassador listening this evening, Simon Court. Good evening, Simon. Hope you're well. Right,
so the
new events for the BRSCC include Knockhill on June the 6th, where you'll have Scottish Motor Racing Club, British BRSCC Formula Ford 1600 featuring the David Leslie Trophy, which is a nice touch. July 31st are at Snetterton with a lot of MX-5s, probably about half a million. August 14th they're at Alton Park with Fun Cup, City Car Cup and the Modified Fords. That meeting hadn't been changed. So Modified Fords had their Thruxton meeting changed, so that's gone to August the 14th. October 23rd and 24th, get your words out, Rob. Cadwell Park, lots of Caterhams, Road Sports, Sevens, you name it, BRSCC Fiestas, Fiesta Juniors, City Car Cup. They've also added on to their existing events. Track Attack Race Club have got a meeting at Snetterton July 24th, 25th. Cadwell Park's August 28th, 29th with the British Supercart Championship for those nutters. And all October 9th and 10th for Snetterton, the BRSCC Club Sport Trophy. Awesome. In addition to that, it's going to be a very busy year, because in addition to that, they also released yesterday that they've changed Anglesey from June 5th and 6th to Knockhill on the 12th and 13th. I haven't put it in the script. I know that Pembrey has changed their truck meeting because everyone's a bit worried about the Welsh government. Basically, we've got 2 pages of news this week. 1.5 pages of it is everyone's moved their schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Exactly. Which makes it really easy for everybody to keep track of who's going where and when and why.
Exactly. Bark cancelled their meeting at Knockhill.
If only we knew someone who could build an app for us. Get in touch if you know anyone who does. That's a little Club Racing UK exclusive there, but it's early doors.
Exactly. Phil Neal has commented saying, damn, Nick, that's a good shine on your Barnet.
Do you know what? I was genuinely worried about it because I'm just sat in an empty room in my flat packing and I'm near a socket because my phone will die and I'm also directly under a light. So I need to, I may even get up and take the light out because... That's really all right.
To be honest, Stu Waite has come back at Phil to tell him to get back in his garage, which, to be fair, he probably is in there beavering on his race car or on his bikes, either or he's happy. Chris Bratt of All Square Wrap and Ride joins us this evening as well. Good evening, Chris.
Chris. Anyway,
back to the news. So Bart cancelled a meeting at Knockhill. So they've scheduled the pickups and the JSCC to go there June 19th, 20th now. And the CNC Championship has moved to September 18th and 19th. The CSCC, some good positives news here in front of a massive audience. They've secured 7 races supporting what is, well, basically it used to be Blank Pan, but it's now called Fanatec GT World Challenge. Which doesn't roll off the tongue as best.
Not really.
I'm sorry, what's it called?
It's called the Fanatec GT World Challenge.
Stop it. It's not 9 o'clock yet.
Can you say it slower, Rob?
Can you say that a bit slower, please?
It's called the Fanatec.
Ah.
Sorry, I thought you were saying something else for a minute.
Oh, Fanatec, you know,
GT World Challenge.
Very fast, expensive cars.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair,
it is also fair. I do like watching that.
It is a good series, normally streamed online, but the CSCC, the lucky buggers, have managed to secure 7 races on the support package of that at Brands Hatch on the 28th and 29th of August, and we're hoping by that time they'll have a pretty decent grid there as well. And it's not named after lady parts. Anyway, moving on. I didn't say anything rude. I said parts.
Will the CSCC be part of their stream during their race weekend?
Will the CSCC be what?
Part of the Fanatec GT World Challenge stream on their race weekend?
Don't know. That's probably to be confirmed. But if Brands Hatch have got anything about them, they'll make sure it is.
Better do.
If so, that was epic of it. Wow, epic for them. If they managed to get onto the.
If there are any CSCC members that can confirm that on the comments, whether or not you'll be with the stream or it will be filmed somehow, won't it? It's just
definitely.
If you're watching, David. If you're watching, we did CSCC last year. So they had a great time. So it'd be great to see it again. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Is that a plug-in?
It's everything to plug, Stefan, you know me.
Nathan Potts joins us this evening as well. Good evening, Nathan. Now, I did mention this to you, didn't I, Nick? I was a bit half and half on this when the British Automobile Racing Club announced this. They've announced a new for 2021 1 litre racing club. Basically, C1s.
Brilliant. Fantastic idea. I mean,
there's none of them.
It's a pioneering move, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's not like...
It's a trend, isn't it? It's almost starting to become a bit of a worrying trend, actually.
Well...
It's almost like if you don't have one of these...
What's your issues with it?
I've done KAs, as you know. I've done C1s as well, and they're all great. They're all great. There's now the Sydney Car Cup. There's this 1 litre racing club. And... Mm-hmm. It's a lot, isn't it? And we've spoken about the market being saturated too much for this type of thing. And I imagine this is 1 litres and you can race C1s in it and you can race every car that's available in the City Car Cup. Can't imagine BRSCC. Who's doing it? It's Bark, isn't it? So I can't imagine BRSCC are overly happy about it.
But then at the same time, how can Bark allow this when they effectively look after the C1 Racing Club, which, incidentally, we got a bit of news about them as well, so we'll come back to the C1s. But they've effectively got two championships of the same thing.
But then again, if it gets people into motorsport and the demand is there, then it's a good thing, right?
I'm
going to jump in front of you here, Rob. My only thing I can see it being good for, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, is the fact that there is a million... and three C1 race cars out there, and obviously there isn't a million and three grid slots in the C1 Cup. So if it allows more C1s to be taken out of hibernation and raced,
then
fair enough. But what I don't want to see, and we've covered it before, is another dilution of a championship where, again, there's a perfectly good championship out there that people can join, but someone else has gone, oh, actually, I'm going to go over here and just change a couple of the words to suit me, and then you're half a grid or what have you. That's the reason I'm not keen on it. Is because
I guess time will tell with that, won't it? But if you can get people into motorsport with, say, the 1 litres and the KAs and the C1s and City Car Cup, the idea really is that you get those people in and then they move to different categories, don't they? Slightly faster ones. And if you can do that, it's almost like the... I want to call it the beginning because having... been involved with KAs for a while, it's fantastic stuff, as you guys know, and you can have an awful lot of fun. But I imagine at some point you probably want to get into something that's a bit quicker at some point, you know. And if we can get more people into that pool, if we can get people started and then moving in, then that's only a good thing. But of course now time will just tell.
I agree with that.
But to be honest, you know, the KAs aren't eligible for it because they're 1.3s anyway. The C1 Racing Club, there are a lot of C1s for sale, and they've released their calendar. We'll come to that in a minute. They're going to have a bumper grid this year. The City Car Cup have fresh cars in build for it. Why do we need a fourth championship of the same thing? You've got those three. They're endurance racing in small little cars. Or in the City Car Cup, it's sprint races. So you've got that there. So, but the one thing, you know, you say about getting people involved in motorsport, it can't all be if you get started in motorsport, you can only join that. You can go and join any championship you want. What you need is, and again, unfortunately, there are certain laws in the background, which I probably don't understand the complexities of. I know that. I'm just a punter. We all are. But from my point of view, looking and watching club racing over the years, if you dilute it too much, you'll kill everyone. That's the problem. It needs to be monitored.
It's not going to be Armageddon, Rob. Bloody hell.
Four horsemen of the apocalypse are going to turn up at Brands Hatch next week now.
Goddamn too many C1s! Oh! In the world,
I think time will tell. It's supply and demand, isn't it? We're going to find out whether it's the right move or it is going to be a big success or not.
The thing is, because it's for existing 1 litre naturally aspirated cars, if they'd have made it 1 litre turbocharged, that would have opened it up to the smaller 1 litre, like Russ Harding has said here. What about these modern 900cc? Yeah, and stuff like that. That's a good idea because it's something different and something a bit more modern that could be brought in.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know why we don't have van racing, to be honest. I don't know. Why don't we have van racing? That's a series that I want to see.
For me, we need more pioneers, not copycats. This is what this
exactly
is
van racing. Van racing. Why don't we have van racing?
Hold on. Again, don't quote me on this, but didn't the VW, was it the VW Cup or someone did something with the VW caddies, didn't they?
Yeah, they had caddies.
Well, we need to do
which
it.
Which actually looked quite cool.
There's about 50 billion transit vans out there, so why couldn't we get some of those going? That would be brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Stu's just asked as well, how many GT86s have you bought in the last 2 weeks? Stuart, I'm trying to build a Ford to race in the championship. I haven't got money to spend. That thing leaks oil everywhere.
I thought Paul Harvey was buying them all up anyway.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Paul Harvey is probably in the middle of buying up every 86 in the country. And it's a good spot. I tell you, 5 to 10 years' time, that'll be the next thing. AJ Owen, good evening, AJ. Totally agree. Don't need another championship being created to chase the same people. It's an organising club war. They are after the money, which is understandable. There are two sides to it. Yes, I get that. There are people that are unhappy. So they go and they want to be happy with what they do. Jordan Honeybone, have you boys done your power test yet? I haven't. Stefan, you have, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
How did yours go?
It was a very long drive. For 1.5 minutes of power running. But I did get to see the touring cars and then a very long drive home.
Cool.
Apart from that, a car went onto a dyno for 3 runs and it came off the dyno. Not broken, so positive.
Cool.
With a number far less than you were expecting.
Is what it is. I should have put the videos on it and we could have listened to the supercharger scream its nuts off, but it sounds like that. That's good.
He's such
honestly,
a child.
If you're going to be in the MS, if you're in the MSV Championship this year, Track Day Championship, that's all you're going to hear. And it won't even be anywhere near you. It'll be the other side of the track, and all you'll hear is the Club Racing UK Mini going.
I can't wait to Donington Park now.
Meanwhile, in the closer village of Castle Donington, the kennels have gone absolutely nuts with the subsonic sound. Yeah. Jordan Honeybone's actually come back, Steph. He said, what did it make?
170.
Right, that killed that then.
Sorry, was I supposed to be like trying to shy away from what I made? I'm not one of these people that are like secretive and stuff. It's, you want to know, I'll tell you. I don't really care. So,
fair enough.
Give the game away now, Steph.
To be honest, it is kind of known.
It's not going to make any more in, so that's what it is.
Or is he sandbagging? Is Steph sandbagging?
I think, to be honest,
190.
And I'm trying not to be controversial here because I know MSV do a top job, as do all the organisers. There have been reports given to me over the past few days that quite a lot of the power tests haven't exactly been accurate for different reasons.
Yes, but I've said this to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because the number they give you is the number you have to deal with. Even if they picked it out of a hat, you'd have to deal with it. If they said that your Ford Focus had 800 brake horse, you'd have to deal with it.
If it said my Focus had 800 brake horse, I would laugh in their face. Now, Jordan Honeybone, once again, he said he's come back and asked if you're going Class B or Class C. They made 203.
I think, that's handy, isn't it?
How much did they make?
203.
Way more than us. I think with the information we received from the power run, it makes more sense for us to go into Class C than Class B. So I believe we're going in Class C.
Cool.
But then you did say to me earlier, Steph, that you were like, "Pah, we'll beat everyone in Class B, even with an underpowered mini." That's what you did say. That's a true fact.
I'm not too sure those were my words, but, you know.
You said, "Everyone else in Class B sucks, and we're going to win." That's what you said.
And I saw you doing this while you were doing it as well.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, God.
I'm definitely getting turned off in Lynch. Turn one at Dino.
I was going to say, you are definitely now getting
hung out to dry for the craners. See ya.
Yeah. Fired off into the gravel. Jordan Honeybone, right. Basically, the Dino machine. I won't put the word that he said. Crapped itself if you try running it in the gear that it's meant to run, so they have to run the cars in a lower gear to get a figure, sadly. Yeah,
it doesn't, so I'm getting,
there's another issue with Final Drive as well. I'll explain it off the podcast, otherwise we're going to be here for absolutely ages, Stefan, so we'll talk about it.
When I said about the number and stuff, it's lower than what I expected, but with the information I've been told and gathered, to be fair, the number's completely irrelevant if everyone's running on the same dyno in the same situation. But if we're not getting the correct number, it means I'm going down the class with technically a more powerful car than it should be. But I'm gaining, so I don't care.
I don't know why you're waving, Rob. At this rate, judging by the losses that the boys found in the Mini, I think we'll be pushing ours round.
You're going to be with the KAs.
Well, it's a Ford, it'll fit in. Taylor Norton's actually asked as well, are you going to be firing them off in Enduro KA this year? He just asked if you're doing Enduro KA. I added the firing off bit.
You bitch.
Bear with me.
Up for the fun.
Let me just sit here and cast them in. I joke. It'll be love and fun this year, I'm sure. So Matt Cleary, oh my God, I'm so late. Sorry, guys. We appreciate it, Matt. Just next time, just have a long, hard think about what you were doing before the podcast, man. Disappointed.
Detention for you.
Yeah, Patrick Seal, appreciate atmospherics make a difference, but we've run on that dyno many, many times and never got the same result. It's an absolute ball ache. Yes, I've heard the same today. Lots of issues. We'll see what happens this year. And there is a potential as well. Not being funny, Steph, we could go to a race. You guys get power tested again. It goes up to your correct power and you get disqualified. That's the problem. And and I'm not saying that's just for you. That could be for anyone.
Yeah. The problem is, as I say, if we've all been tested on the same dyno this time round, then we all go to a race and get tested on the next dyno together. Even if it's just the top three, then all top three cars will have increased power on what the original one said. So hopefully, even if it's completely incorrect, as everyone's saying, you can't really go off it as a figure to actually talk about your car. So
yeah.
Everyone's in the same boat with a lesser figure for the regulations. But
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. The main difference. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Look, at the end of the day, regardless of a number and a figure and a class you get put in, you'll be racing with someone somewhere on the racetrack. So let's just go out and have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's move on to the rest of the news. Raw Motorsport, Robin Welch has taken over the running of the C1 Racing Club and the race series. So good luck to those guys. They've announced a calendar as well. So we've got Silverstone Grand Prix for the 24 hours, May 28th to 30th. SNET 300 for 2 3.5-hour races, July 3rd and 4th. They're at Croft on August 7th and 8th for a 3-hour. Basically, everything's a 3-hour race apart from that. So at Croft in August, Donington in August, Pembrey September, Alton October, Brands Hatch November. If you love C1s and fancy having a crack at some endurance racing, there's your club.
Hit them up. Definitely.
Yes. Nice. And with that,
actually, just quickly, because
we got to the end of the news.
Hold on.
There's
one thing I think we should mention. Obviously, we were talking about the Barks 1 litre club. I was just thinking what we definitely need is possibly another small endurance car championship. So 750 Motor Club, if you're interested, then why not set yourself up a small endurance series? Or other clubs could be available.
Yeah.
I wanted to say it earlier, but then we got... teed off to go and talk about sidetrack. We're talking about Mini, so it would have been funnier closer to the conversation, but I still wanted to get in.
Don't explain it.
I've got some news. This stuff, Purple Storm, it is the flavour, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Would that be a plug, Steph?
How is the sponsorship proposal going with Sneak right now?
it's still in the talking process, but you know, I'm sure after this episode.
Just got a little bit closer over the line, though, didn't it?
Well, I'm sure. We all know Stephen Marsh, ladies and gentlemen. He does he does like to sneak a good plug onto the show. Patrick Seal has commented. Patrick Seal has commented, okay? And this is rare. He's actually said, I'm spot on. He said it happened in Super Cup last year. Guy was running and leading in Class A, was disqualified in the final race for exactly that. Jordan Honeybone also commented as well and hit the nail on the head there, Rob. But yeah, we'll talk about it after the podcast. There's no point in arguing about it on here now.
Well, if we win Class C and get disqualified, I'm still taking it as a moral victory that I've won Class C, or we won Class C. Don't care.
No, you heard that, everybody. Steph is going to win it single-handedly as well. Whilst flipping everybody in Class B the bird.
Fair enough. I look forward to putting you in the gravel at Redgate. Anyway, moving on.
Wow, you're going to put several people in the gravel, Rob, when you scoop them up with your splitter.
to be fair, mate, it depends who's taking the opening stint between me and you.
At least I get to see my own face on your car whilst it's happening.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for giving the game away, Stefan, you tosspot. That was going to be revealed next week.
How was it?
Basically, at least
it's in the news, but...
Basically, there's a massive logo of the podcast going onto the side of the car, which, of course, includes cartoon faces of my beautiful face, Nick's beautiful face, and Stefan's ugly mug. Anyway...
Exclusive.
Yeah. AJ Owen says more of a shovel that splitter. Be careful, AJ. Be careful. Don't be dissing my splitter now. Have you seen a picture of it lately? It looks absolutely normal. The green line made it look bigger than it was. I told you what it was before. I told you the measurements. Moving on. Nick?
For the record, actually, I'm going to stop giving you so much grief about your splitter because a certain team that we're quite friendly with, and I think Mr. Waterhouse will know who I'm talking about here, but 4040 Racing's splitter on their 116 BMW. So I think they're calling it the R package to go and do track sports and things like that. I think, let's be honest, it's going to rival your splitter, mate.
Can't be having that, Rob. Add another 6 inches.
No, don't go there.
I suppose if I rub it really hard.
I think you can get a cream for that.
Or press a little blue button on the dash.
What's it about? A triangular one.
Or buy it from a pub vending machine for £3. To be honest, that's put us in a happier frame of mind because, of course, we need to move on to the subject tonight, which is in the weeks since the last podcast, we've actually lost more than two icons with the passing of Johnny Dumfries as well, Lotus Formula One driver, one in that beautiful silk-cut Jaguar in 1988 as well. So that was tragic. We lost an absolute pair of icons. And I'm going to start with Sabine Smits because I don't think anyone has been put in the public eye via someone like Top Gear that really inspired more women, girls to get into motorsport. And I'll tell you what, for those of you that maybe don't really know what her motorsport pedigree is, we've got 2 minutes of video that might just disprove you otherwise. Let's play the clip. Not only did she lick the stamp there, she sent it, posted it, and turned up at the address herself to stick it through the letterbox. My God.
Do you know
God,
what it's like, isn't it? It's like when you're a kid and you play, like, Gran Turismo on the PlayStation, and you put the AI, the computer cars, at, like, super easy mode. And you just you could drive a Toyota Yaris past a Ferrari. just makes it so easy.
I was going to say that. That's insane driving. Insane driving. And to be fair, it carries on as well. Like, into the green hell. It's,
So if you haven't seen that yet, that lap of the Nordschleife during that VLN round, it is 8 minutes of absolute motorsport passing bliss. It is absolutely fantastic. So, of course, she lived in the middle of the Nürburgring and is sadly gone at the age of 51. That's no age.
No. It's the absolutely dreaded bastard sea. It always takes the best people, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Fuck cancer. Not nice. But, you know, Nürburgring 24-hour winner, Top Gear presenter. She, you know, do you guys remember watching the episode with the van?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, people listening. That's how I was introduced to Sabine. It was the fact that she did the transit round the Nürburgring. That's where I first heard of her. And as you say, she was an absolute icon from there, really. It was.
And more proof that we need a van race series, doesn't it? In honor of Sabine.
Yeah, 100%. Very true. Stu Waite comments as well. I was lucky enough to race in two VLN rounds that she was in. Amazing woman. Always had time for people. I know friend of the show, Sam Pierce, Paul Harvey, and like they got a chance to meet her as well when they went over to the Nürburgring for several of their ring trips as well. Always approachable. Fantastic driver. Like I say, Nürburgring 24-hour winner. You don't win that race unless you've got something about you. It's as simple as...
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's a scary place to go anyway, isn't it? So it takes a special someone to tame it. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Now, the next icon, and I'll be honest. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. As you turn a page, Stefan, I know there's a lot of content on there, but you know.
Well, no, someone forgot to print double sided, so.
Would that be Nick?
Unfortunately, me this time.
don't blame me.
Okay, guys. Well, how did you react when you'd heard that Murray Walker had died?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I teared up.
Yeah, same. I'll be honest. There's a bit of a lump in my throat now.
Oi, but, you can't steal his.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? We were sort of chatting about it just before we came on air, actually, and he was 97, so, you know, best will in the world. It was coming, wasn't it? But then again, with Murray Walker, he's like your granddad, isn't he? You sort of think he's going to be there forever, you know? Murray Walker can't die. He's invincible. But he had a cracking life, didn't he? My word.
Oh, God.
Exactly. And it's not to forget as well, as well as doing the motorsport as well, we'll get to the motorsport, but he was a tank commander in World War II, so he was automatically a badass just by doing that. Mm-hmm. The commentating was actually a hobby of his for such a long time. He was an advertising exec and had a lot of his adverts on TV, including, like, was it Budgie Food, stuff like that. Also starred in a couple of adverts that appeared on your Metro Fest the other day, didn't he, Ian?
He did, yeah. In fact, he penned the, is it the Mars of the Day helps you work, rest and play? Or he was involved, he did pen it, he was involved with that one, wasn't he? And what was it, Opal Fruits, made to make your mouth water. It was his company that penned that as well. You know, the guy actually, genius, and we were chatting about it before. I think the thing with Murray Walker is that he's so unique in the sense of, like these days, if you watch presenters and commentators, all very good, but it's all... It's sort of so safe, if you know what I mean. You're not allowed to make mistakes. You're almost not allowed to have your own identity and personality. Whereas Murray Walker's a fan first. You know, it was he would have not commentated if somebody had said, well, hang on, you're making too many mistakes, or you're doing this, you're doing that. It'd have said, fine, I'll go sit in the grandstands with the fans and watch it. He'd still turn up and watch it. And he was a fan first. And that's what I think is brilliant. You know, just like He got to know the drivers. You know, he got to know them on a personal level. And commentators don't do that as such these days, or presenters don't do that as such. Don't take, like, Vernon Kay, for example, does Formula E. Can't imagine him going out with the boys at Formula E and having a couple of beers or sit down with them and stuff. You know, I could be wrong, but I just can't quite picture it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas he has such respect from the drivers, despite not really being a racer himself, you know?
Yeah, it's like you say as well, about knowing the drivers. He was very meticulous in the way he prepped for it. And you know, going on to his motorsport, it wasn't just Formula One. It was touring cars. He loved club racing as well. He commentated on club racing. He commentated on hill climbs as well. Any enthusiasm. And we've got some comments start coming in. So Matt Clear as well. Murray commentated on the old BTCC. There's going to be a clip coming up of that certain comment. We've got our own favourite moments as well. So we're going to show you those. Stu Waite, he came up with made to make your mouth water for Opel Fruits.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So that was the slogan. And he also says he lived near me, met him several times, the most humble person I've ever met. Jonathan Bevan as well. Murray was a legend. I was at Goodwood in the evening and he came over and sat with us, asked me if I had his book, and then sent someone off for some copies and signed it for me whilst having a chat.
Nice.
And then charged him 15 quid for it.
Oh, you said he was a businessman.
Exactly. Hey, very shrewd guy too.
More businessmen. Well, we've lucky enough for you guys, we've got several videos today, so we'll start off with the big one of some of Murray's greatest Murrayisms.
Michael Schumacher going to make a good start and cut across the front of Mika Häkkinen, and he's famous for that. Three lights, four lights, five laps. Pause. Go, go, go. Number one, Winkelhock, second in the BMW. Third is Alemenu in the Renault. Behind him is Steve Soper out of Dufferston. Peter McIntyre's the right-hander. This is really close. Through the chicane. And off. It's Tarquini. What happened? Gabriele Tarquini in the Alfa Romeo. Thank heavens he's safe. Out of the car, rushing to safety. And the crowd have shown their appreciation that he's all right. But it's a very dazed and battered Gabriele leading against the barrier. Pete Dam wins. Looks through a completely clean windscreen. And that's the big advantage, of course, of being in front. And that's the big disadvantage of getting your line wrong. Into the pit lane comes Andrea De Cesaris, the man who's won more Grand Prix than anybody else in the history of Grand Prix racing without actually winning one of them. Mazda on the left, Mazda on the right, Vauxhall in the middle. They're absolutely together, side by side. They're very close, in fact, they touch, bang, bang. And that is Neil, and that is a very big one indeed. Roll, roll, roll again, all the way down the straight. And Harvey's right behind. Harvey's attacking Cleland. There's Harvey. There's Cleland. So Cleland has stayed ahead, but Soper is ahead of the Vauxhall. So John Cleland is sandwiched between the two BMWs. I'm going for first, says John Cleland. Michael Schumacher, who seems to me to be pacing himself calmly and in his experienced way to yet another victory. If it is, it will be his 48th Grand Prix in his 150th year. Back again with John Cleland, 22 times a winner in the Touring Car Championship, but seemingly not today. Look at Sugden's spoiler as they go into... Oh, wow! That is Simone, straight into the Armco. That was a 100 mile an hour crash, and it looks to me as though the little Italian is perfectly okay. Well, out of the car, and that's a my car, says Rosso. It was indeed.
All I can tell you at the moment is that David Coulthard, he keeps on accelerating and closing up to David Coulthard. He's...
That's Jeff Allam ahead in the Vauxhall, and he's been hit. He's been hit, and he's off at terrific speed onto the grass, into the Armco, across the track, onto the outside of the track. That was a very lucky one indeed. Look at his front wheel.
Oh dear. Okay to take a picture, mate. Jeff Allam is not very happy, I don't think. Oh dear me, he is not. Look at that.
Cleland is off into the gravel trap. There'll be gravel everywhere in that Vauxhall.
What up?
Oh, hi, John, the new, you are off indeed. And here's a replay. And watch our cameraman as we head straight towards him. Stop! He's a runner.
And Prost has yet to take his fellow Frenchman, René Arnoux, who says, the reason I'm going so slow these days is that I'm used to turbo cars, and these normally aspirated engine cars are a very different kettle of fish to drive, he says.
And all I can say to that is bullshit.
So, anyway, there goes Arnoux in the Ford-powered Ligier.
First 250cc British Grand Prix to be held at Donington. And after eight rounds, the surprise leader is the West German veteran Reinhold Roth, riding a German.
I'm knowing exactly where Nigel Mansell is because he can see him in his earphone. See him in his mirror. You can see Nigel Mansell in his mirrors, knows exactly what the score is, and will be able to pace himself from the front.
That's a guaranteed goal for Paul Flores Murray. Absolutely for sure.
There we go. Some of the greatest Murrayisms ever. And we haven't
that
got,
was
on, got on to the best
brilliant.
One.
That was just superb, wasn't it? That Tarquini one cracks me up. Oh!
Either that or that Simone one. Either that, it's all of a sudden there's just Alpha. Oh, we've lost Nick. Nick's gone.
That's my car, Earl. Can't say that these days.
Yeah, that's on my car. Right, we've lost Nick temporarily. So we'll just go to some comments while Nick sorts himself out. So Jonathan Bevan actually came up and confirmed he got the books for free.
Hey, nice one.
Got the books for free, so ever the gentleman. Fraser
Metcalf.
Do you
still have it, Jonathan? Do you still have it? Comment below. Do you still have it, mate?
Yeah, do you still have the book, John? Fraser Metcalf. Murray lived a dream. If you couldn't race, he seriously had the best job ever. He did. Oh, you're back. He's back.
I'm back. Sorry, my neighbour's Wi-Fi must have dropped off.
Dan Willars. Is Ian Waterhouse the new Murray Walker with his Murrayisms trying to interview me at Snetterton when I wasn't there?
Yeah, that's true.
Love it.
Sounds about right. Yeah. There's Dan Willis, I know. And then Dan's commented, God, I'm not actually there. He's watching the live stream at home. And I'm like, Dan Willis, had a great race last time out. Hoping to go well today. Oh, he's just texted me. He's not here.
He's at home.
Is I mean, to be honest, that's probably like you said, Ian. In a world where everything has to be perfect, otherwise you're just vilified for it. The Murrayisms to me just kind of made him a bit human.
Yeah, you know, I like
we
it,
need but... more of that. We need yeah. more of that. I'm not saying you should be. I'm not saying that someone needs to take the Murray Walker mantle now, but yeah. We need more. We've said it before about. I think when we covered the live streaming episode, didn't we? Now,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not tarring everyone with the same brush, but some commentators are just they're just yawn bore fests because they're just then there's no personality there. Don't get me wrong. You know, they still do their bit and whatnot. But if you the great thing about Murray was he was engaging and you'd want to watch it because he was just so exciting.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not comparing him to you, Ian, or you to you know, whatever you are, but you know. When you get on one, when you get on one and you're like, wow, this car's doing this. Oh, my God, mama. It's brilliant. And we love watching it because there's genuine passion there. But when you've got someone just rattling out a bunch of names and a bunch of corners and a bit of... it's boring.
Yeah, but he did a lot of work as well. I mean, this is the beauty of it. And this is where it comes being a fan first, isn't it? You know, he knows his stuff. He knows everything. You know, and he did a lot of hard, meticulous work beforehand. But when it is in the moment, you just can't control yourself because it is that exciting. You know, it really genuinely is. And you just can't stop.
Being in the moment as well. I mean, who remembers seeing that famous line? It's the 1993 British Grand Prix support meeting. Will Hoy goes into the side of Julian Bailey, tips the Toyota upside down. They're going for a 1-1-2. And Murray Walker straight away comes out. The car upside down is a Toyota.
Yeah.
I mean,
a play on the
average. That's got to be one of my favourites at that moment.
That's genius, by the way. That is genius.
Genius commentating.
That level of being on it like that and being able to think of like that on your feet within a split second, it's genius.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, the bit that when I read into a bit more about Murray Walker, what he used to do, a lot of the touring car stuff was pre-recorded. So a lot of the mistakes he actually put in there accidentally just to make himself look a bit average, but not purposely to make himself look like an idiot, but just to say, you know, we are human, and just to add a human element to it.
Yeah,
but
he was very clever in what he did.
Very, very clever in what he did. And with that, of course, the four of us just had to pick a favourite Murray Walker moment. So who should we go with first? Should we go with Nick's? It has featured already, but let's be honest, we've just got to watch it again. Let's play the video.
Yeah, it's good.
Clevender stayed ahead, but Soper is ahead of the Vauxhall. So John Clevender is sandwiched between the two BMWs. I'm going for first, says John Clevender.
She just like it because he sticks a finger up.
The problem is it was perfect camera timing. John Cleland being John Cleland and Murray Walker being Murray Walker, just bam, straight on it.
Yeah, and of course we all know what happened 30 seconds later.
But you think if that in-car cam, you know, cut in a couple of seconds later, you would have missed that. And the commentator wouldn't have brought it to life. And that clip, I mean, that clip is now, you know, it's immortalized in British touring cars forevermore.
Yeah.
Not just because of Murray, obviously, Cleland sticking the finger up and what have you. But it's just, it's one of those clips they'll play forever. Even when British touring cars is fully electric or what have you like that. But when they talk about the heyday, you'll see that clip 100%.
Yeah,
and it's got Murray Walker voicing it, as with a lot of the greatest Formula One moments, a lot of the greatest motorsport moments. Let's be honest, even though he retired in 2001, I think it was, he did a bit in Australia at the end of the 2000s, but a lot of the moments that we look back on fondly will be having Murray Walker on the commentary. Just go into the comments as well. Stu, wait, there'll never be another Murray, so stop looking. Yep. Completely agree with that. There won't be another Murray Walker. No. He also says he was probably the single most person who was responsible for me getting into racing, growing up with Formula One, with our Sunday lunch, so much enjoyment. It was like he was in the living room with you. Patrick Seal agrees with him as well. There's several others.
How good was your TV?
That's very true. But from there, I'll be honest, we've put this as Steph's moment, but not only was this Steph's favourite moment, so I had to pick another one and Ian had to pick another one, because both me and Ian picked this same moment and it still puts a lump in my throat. Let's play the video.
This is something that many people didn't think could possibly happen today. They thought Damon would drive a cautious race. But he fought. He fought from second on the grid. He passed Jack Villeneuve. He took the lead. He stayed there. And Damon Hill exits the chicane and wins the Japanese Grand Prix. And I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat. Michael Schumacher passes Damon Hill, but too late. Damon Hill wins in Japan. I really am, for once, almost at a loss for words. I am so happy, as the majority of Britain will be. I must confess I have a very soft spot for Damon, and it has been magnified as a result of his achievements here.
Oh. Wonderful.
Brings it all back, isn't it?
That's just a pure motorsport supporter, plus a British man supporting the British driver.
Yeah.
And just all the emotion coming out in one place, isn't it? So
passion. Yeah, and passion, and adding to that as well, that Murray Walker did have a very personal connection to Damon at the time as well. He more or less acted like a father figure to him because, as we all know, Graham Hill was killed in the 70s. So his upbringing, he really acted as a father figure to him. And to see him go into Formula One, do exactly what his father did in the years before, and then win at Suzuka like that, And let's remember, was it that time? It was 96. I was five then. Hi, Ian's wife. So, it was 1996 then. So I was only 5 years old. But at the time, was it well known that he wasn't going to be at Williams? Had he had the confirmation by then that he was going?
I can't remember. I was 10,
and I will promise you now, I was not thinking about that.
No.
I remember when it did come out.
It was huge news, though, when it was announced he was going to Arrows. Effectively,
William sacked him because of how he performed in 95. That was a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, mind you, they Villeneuve won it the next year, so they replaced him. Could argue it was a right call.
Well, he was replaced. Villeneuve was there in 96. He was replaced with Frentzen, I think. That didn't go well, did it?
Definitely not the right call then.
Definitely not the right call. Damn you, Williams.
All right, nerds, calm down.
But again, it's Patrick Seal. I remember hearing it live, and that's my favourite Murray moment too. It just gave me goosebumps listening to that again. We aim to please. And another thing to remember out of the sort of Murray forte as well, you have to remember that when he was commentating on Formula One through the 70s, 80s and the 90s, he also had to commentate on some of the darkest moments in Formula One's history, especially Imola 1994. He was there commentating on the race. Now, we're not showing you that clip for obvious reasons. It's a bit full on. And we're remembering a great man. But one of the other things he did commentate on was the ferocious rivalry. Try saying that when you're pissed. The ferocious rivalry between Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost that boiled over in 1989 and also produced this moment in 1990 when Prost was going for the championship for the then Ferrari team.
The grid is clear. The lights go. And Senna sprints away, but Alain Prost takes the lead. It's happened. Alain Prost has taken the advantage. Senna is trying to go through on the inside, and it's happened immediately. This is amazing. Senna goes off at the first corner, but what has happened to Prost? He has gone off too. Well, that is amazing, but I fear absolutely predictable.
Yes, and that makes Ayrton Senna world champion this year.
How to win the championship in the first turn.
I don't know how Prost is so calm about it. You know, like, you'd go mad, wouldn't you? You'd go absolutely ballistic. In fact, you wouldn't get away with it nowadays, would you? I think there'd be a penalty.
But again, it was that acting in the moment, straight away, and it's happened immediately. He knew. Bang. Right.
Everyone watching that live, going away from Murray a little bit, but everyone watching that live that's waiting for the championship decider, all geared up, sat there ready. That happens in the first corner. Did they all just go, that's that done then, and switch off? Or did they continue to watch?
They continue to watch.
Am I right in thinking Senna said he was going to do it, though, even before the race?
Well, what it was, I mean, you'd have seen it in the Senna movie, but the argument was Senna took pole, and Prost was very... It was lots of politics going on with the boss of the FIA, who was a chap called Jean-Marie Balestre. Arrogant Frenchman. Lots of politics, French guys. So he moved pole position onto the dirty side of the track, and Senna lost his shit, basically, and was like, you know what? I'm going to make sure I get to that first corner first. And it was only years, like, going up to 94 or 93 that he actually admitted, yeah, I did take him out. I mean, Senna faced... He was going to get banned and lose his license and all sorts. It was, you know, it blew up big style.
It was obvious. It was obvious when it happened.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, such is life. And then again, you move on to 94. The fact that the footage does exist on YouTube. And there's also some Grand Prix footage of after the event where Murray Walker has to stand there and talk about the events of that day. And the way you do it, you couldn't find someone who would talk about the emotion of the race live and then like Ian Waterhouse.
And there she goes. She goes through the door.
There she goes.
And it's go back in the kitchen.
Where's my coffee?
But you know what I mean? Someone that can commentate.
Just for the record, can I just clear up that, please, no feminism people come and attack me now for saying that Ian's wife belongs in the kitchen.
Yeah, Nick's screwed now. But do you know what I mean?
I didn't mean it like that.
I think if she watches this back, I won't have a wife, so I sure hope that.
Let's be honest, she's never going to watch this.
We're lucky that we have about 5 people watching it right now.
She doesn't know. Yeah. She doesn't know what I do. She's like, what is it you actually do again? It's like to do with cars.
Bloody he's at home again.
I'm like, now, I'm on TV this weekend. She's like, don't be silly, no, you're not. God, he's so bad.
Rings the doctor up. Oh, he's at it again.
Yeah. He's always going off to play golf with no golf clubs. A strange guy.
But he's got those stupid trousers.
Yeah. All the gear.
And no idea.
Right,
just going back to some comments. Dan Willis, I think Hill was out of contract but asked rightly for money as world champion, but Williams had already backed Villeneuve for the next year and Frentzen was a fraction of the price. Williams always had a philosophy of if you win, it's the car. If you lose, it's the driver. Yeah, it was something like that. Stu Waite as well, and I saw this as well. Okay, now Jeremy Clarkson used to have a talk show and he got Murray Walker on and he got him to commentate on the snooker. It's the funniest. If you've got a couple of minutes, get on you after the show, of course. Don't be going off now.
Yeah. If you viewing figures dropped.
What are you talking about, Nick? They have anyway. You started talking feminism. Anyway, if you go on YouTube and look it up, Murray Walker commentating on the snooker will make your night. And Ian's moment's going to top that. We'll come back to that. Stu Waite. Look up on YouTube. Yep, so that's that bit. Cameron Tunio, that is the single moment that ruined most of motorsport. Which bit? I think he's on about Senna Prost 1990. Yeah, probably did. Dan Willars.
It's dirty, but there's been dirty tactics in motorsport since day dot.
Well, yeah, just look at Schumacher on Villeneuve. He was commentating on that as well. That was the same, turned in, but it just didn't work.
Was it
the one
Schumacher did where he
just parked it in Monaco? Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah. So that was 2005.
Right, to stop
Alonso getting. Was it Alonso? Comment in. Was it?
Wasn't it?
It was qualifying. He was on pole, and Alonso was quicker and was going to get pole, to be honest. Yeah. So he parked it. But again, it's that ruthless will to win.
Win at any cost.
Win at any cost. Now we're going to come to Ian's favourite clip. Why is this your favourite clip, Ian?
Do you want to play it? Then shall I explain? In fact, no. Let me just explain. Who doesn't like pizza?
I don't think anyone.
I just read.
Love pizza.
Obviously, I've pre-read the script. And I've just looked in and gone, "Ooh, pizza." I love the pizza.
Exactly. Well, in that case, we better play the clip then.
And Hill leads into the first bend.
Murray.
There's been a shunt. It's Hill.
Murray, we're just out for a quiet pizza. Stop commentating.
Sorry.
We'll have a pepperoni, please.
Hill ordered the Pizza Hut pepperoni, a cheese stuffed crust. It's got a delicious ring of cheese and slices of pepperoni baked into a thinner crust.
And here comes the pasta.
It's a pizza, Murray.
Mmm.
Hill's going for it. And he spun his pizza through 180 degrees.
Pepperoni and cheese stuffed crust from Pizza Hut. It'll turn around the way you look at pizza.
And Hill finishes second again. He's lost it. He's out of control.
Brilliant, isn't it? Just brilliant. You can just sense this genuine chemistry between the two as well, isn't there? You know, there really, really is. And I remember 96 because I was 11 in 96. It was a big year because obviously Hill won the championship. Leeds got to the League Cup final. Faldo won the Masters. So it was a big old year. I also remember Pizza Hut would go, they must have spent a fortune on their adverts in 96 because they also had after Euro 96 when England got knocked out, in the semi-finals. They got Gareth Southgate.
They did, yes.
And he had the bag because he missed the penalty against Germany, didn't he, in the semi-finals. So yep. They had him wearing the paper bag with the holes. So Pizza Hut were just going insane in 96. They were just spending like wildfire. And I love seeing Murray. You know, you hear his voice on all the commentary stuff, but then you see him, and he actually did quite a lot of stuff in front of the camera as well, didn't he, as we played on Metrofest the other day as well. It's just funny. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, so obviously he did adverts for the Austin group, didn't he? So the two adverts you played the other day.
Yeah, it was funny.
I don't suppose they're in the locker that we'd be able to play them, or is that not possible?
I think I might have taken them out, actually. Sorry, I took them out.
That's okay. To be fair, if you have got the chance to look back on the Saturday special where Club Racing UK were allowed out on a different day as usual, it was Saturday night.
It was definitely a Saturday night.
Definitely a Saturday. Live on a Saturday and not pre-recorded at any point at all. Fraser Metcalf comments, was it Adelaide Schumacher versus Hill where he took himself and Hill out? Yeah, it did. My mum says she watched that and nearly threw something at the TV when that happened.
But then did he tried to do the same on Villeneuve, didn't he?
That's what it's all about. No, 97 at Jerez. Now, Murray Walker was commentating on that, but the bit I remember on that one, that was when Martin Brundle joined, and he was just savage because he just turns up on the commentary and goes, no, that didn't work, did it, Michael? That didn't work out for you, did it? And was proper taking the piss out of it.
Wasn't Brundle Schumacher's teammate? He was teammate with Schumacher for a season, wasn't he? So he's probably...
Yeah, 93.
Yeah, so probably knew
what he was. We had a bit of beef with him after that.
Yeah, sounds like there's a bit of argy-bargy there.
Yeah, you never know. So there we go. There we go, guys. We remember fondly the loss of an absolute legend that was Murray Walker. So some affectionate bits there. And with that, let's move on to some competitions and a bit of a new addition to the Club Racing UK podcast. We're going to focus on some of the partners that are helping out the club racers within our fraternity. Let's play the intro.
Yeah. Wait for the music before dancing.
There you go.
We need to change competitions to something like company focus or something. You need to make another video, Rob, is what we're saying.
Well, it's just competition/partner focus, which is going to be another thing we're doing on the podcast to add to the workload.
Is that a cry for help there, Rob?
No, it isn't.
Let me find the violin.
Let me just check in this cupboard. Oh, no fucks to give around here.
I've got a massive empty bucket of fucks over here.
I like it. Right, so first of all, we have the £300 entry fee competition. I have put on the script that Ian has a photo. He certainly should by now. There we go.
There it is. Come on, guys, get involved. 2 weeks to go until race season starts. Why would you not want to start off with £300 in your pocket? Well, it won't be in your pocket. It will be in a club organiser's pocket that it hasn't had to come out of your pocket.
No.
There is selling a competition if ever I've tried.
Exactly.
No, seriously, guys, it's free money. It's not free money. It's going to cost you either £20 for a year or £2 for a month. And like I say, if you're racing in 2 weeks' time, it could only cost you £2.
Save yourself £300.
Exactly that. So get involved. Get on the competition. Just go to our website, which is, I can never get this. We need to time this better. Here it comes. Go on, Steph, follow it. Then I'll carry on. There you go. clubracinguk.co.uk. Head there, sign up as a member. Oh, shut up. Sign up as a member, you'll be entered into this competition and all future competitions, and then you will go on to, you can also use all our discounts of products and things like that, and you'll get priority posting as well on our socials. So if you've got sponsors you want to impress, we can help you with that too.
Well, let's move on to some of the partners and something that's quite apt for this episode as well. Pole Position Prizes have got a prize for a Murray Walker signed photo by the man. There's just 99p per entry. All proceeds are going to the Stars Appeal charity. You can't get any better than that.
No, given to a charity, plus you get a signed picture of the legend himself. So again, head to Pole Position Prizes. If you want to get involved on that one, you should definitely do that. Some great prizes coming up.
Cool.
Not just that one.
Not just that one. Next on our partner focus is Nick Jackson, or to quote correctly, NJM Racing. They've been established in 2018 when Nick Jackson and Jamie Moore decided to take their partnership in motorsport to the next level. They've been working together for several years across Radicals, Clio Cup, Caterham's Vag Trophy, multiple level club racing circuit and rallying. So quite a close network of motorsport professionals to be able to offer you all the motorsport needs in one place, including the famous Nick Jackson driver training, limiter grip training, being a driver mentor generally, as well as offering some pretty wicked arrive and drive cars.
Yes.
Yep.
And I was up, by the way, I was up at Moores Motors a couple of weeks ago, and they got some nice motors up there, and I did spy a couple of, there was a secret KA belonging to PH up there. Should you work out who that is?
Piston Heads.
What? There's a Piston Heads car up there, is there?
Ah, yeah. That's not quite the mystery I thought it was going to be.
Oh, for God's sake, Ian, come on. You're dealing with us here.
Ian, I think you just need to go on Piston Heads Instagram and you can get some more info on there.
Yeah, that's been really clever, you know.
I'm having a malfunction here.
Yeah, oh dear. Well, I'll just keep like quiet. It. Next time I'm on the podcast, I'll just keep quiet.
No, I like it, Ian. What colour was it?
I couldn't possibly reveal that.
Oh, you're revealing everything else tonight.
And then Nick Jackson is also, they've also announced that they can take or provide the service of passenger track support training from the 12th of April. So that's another point.
Yes. Yeah, back to normality for some people.
Yep. And that's a good fair play. So, hopefully they can get out and start earning some money again, because it's certainly going to be certainly for all the instructors, it's been quite a tough year for them. So, Nick, what is going on?
What are you doing?
Jesus Christ. My little
gizmo's gone floppy. I'm having to hold it at the base to try and keep it stiff.
Oh dear.
Taking a nosedive, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Well, you can tell it's gone past nine now, isn't it? It's gone past nine.
I do apologise. I'm gonna have to hold it, because otherwise it's gonna droop.
Oh my god.
Can I just say as well, while the level and the tone has dropped for a second, Rob, please don't call it the Vag Trophy anymore. It's the Vag, not Vag. Anywho.
I wonder if we should start this podcast at 9 o'clock from now on.
I'm not sure 9.
No. I like the fact that we can...
It's going to be 1 a.m. from now on.
Yeah, 1 a.m. from now on.
And then it can't be viewed at any other point apart from live at 1 a.m.
Live at 1 a.m. It's basically us or Babe Station.
Oh, just think.
Whatever thought there you had in your head, Nicholas, turn it off, shut it away now. Just for God's sake. Jesus Christ.
Let's not go there.
Love how it took a nosedive right in the partners section when we're trying to enhance their exposure.
Don't use the enhance as well. That just adds to it.
And enhance, don't talk about enhance, exposing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Enhancing exposure for everyone.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to wear a trench coat next time.
Well, there goes tonight's episode of the Club Racing UK podcast. We'll see you at the inquiry.
Actually, this kind of... Hold on. This might lead on pretty well to our next partner. If you are thinking of making some home videos...
Anybody watching this, just so you know, our next podcast in 2 weeks will be from the Old Bailey. We will stream it live.
Oh my god, this has gone just as well as I thought. Why okay, GoPro?
Bring it back.
Why GoPro are celebrating their 1 year anniversary this year. So, as you know, we had Tom Barley on the show in, it was at the end of season one, wasn't it? Or was it at the beginning of this year? I can't remember. But we have had Tom Barley on recently.
We've had him on. Yeah, well, we had him on the beginning of the season for the ambassador program.
That was it. Yes, tell a lie. That was it. So we've had Tom Barley on as well, telling us all about his fantastic products. He's been going a year with the GoPro remote now. And I've got to tell you now, ladies and gentlemen, he's got some fantastic offers on his social media at the moment. So just get in the old search bar at the top there. Type in Wired GoPro remote. It's not just the club racer he's catering for. He's had quite a few professional outfits sort of approach him. And buy the equipment off him. And to be honest, by the looks of some of the stuff he's coming out with, he likes a challenge. So if there's something a bit custom and a bit funky you want to come up with, it wouldn't surprise me if he took it on anyway, because he's that nice of a lad. Yeah. So,
but it's not just that as well. Like the good thing about Tom is the fact that if you've got an old system and you're looking for an upgrade, or you're looking for even just some information on your system that you're currently running, just give him a shout. Honestly, really knowledgeable guy, top bloke, and I'm very glad we've got him on board this year. Not only helping all our members, but yeah, he's on board with the ambassador program for the year.
Yes, he is.
Exactly.
We bought some kits off him, so once we've finally got them in the car, we'll stick some pictures up for everyone to look at.
Yeah. Who are you waiting for on there, Steph?
An electrician I know to kind of wire them up.
I better get on it, really, aren't I?
Yes, you should. But just as a reminder to everyone that all the partners that we have spoken about are also part of the partnership scheme. So if you want a membership for £2 a month or £20 a year, you can also receive discounts from them.
Cool. Can't get any fairer than that.
One more ad as well. If you are a company watching this and you are not listed as one of our partners, then why not? Get in touch. And then obviously we can get you listed on our website, across our socials, and any other thing we can think of. OnlyFans, maybe even Babe Station.
Well, Phil Neil has suggested that, he's commented in. Right, last of the comments tonight. Fraser Metcalf, is that how Nick charms all of the women? Matt Cleary also put LOL Nick, and then he's got a face with a head in his hands. Not many other comments from that. I think we've lost most of the viewers when we couldn't breathe.
I think so.
If you're listening back on the podcast, it's going to be funny.
It is going to be funny on the audio version of the podcast, which will be back up and running soon. And
is probably not the best episode actually to be listening to, really, because it's videos.
It's a bit video heavy for an audio podcast.
Very video heavy, but just hopefully
some car noises.
But the good thing about the podcast as well, with everything opening up again, hopefully it should allow me during the summer to go around and visit some relevant people to record some intimate one-on-one interviews with some legends of British club racing and British motorsport. So hopefully we can sort out some good content there coming to your audio and podcast outlets.
There's an offer. Rob is going to get intimate with you.
Damn straight. And with that, a tribute to Murray Walker and Sabine Smits. Tonight, I've been Robert Lewis. We've had the usual miscreants. It's the one that wheezes a lot, the one with a massive beard.
Oh, he said it! I said don't say that! Yes!
You're not allowed to. You've been banned from that word.
Just mix it up, man.
Mix it up. Okay. Oh. Well, it's 23 minutes past nine. I don't give a fuck. It's been Robert Lewis, Stephen Marsh, Nick Holmes, and the celebrity in Waterhouse. Bye.
Wait. One thing before we go.
What?
Next time we're on the show, we'll be gearing up to go testing and go racing.
The show may not be the 2 weeks on Wednesday, people.
Yeah, it might not be in 2 weeks because Mr. Unreliable over there. Well, actually, I might not be there either.
Keep an eye on the socials for when it will be.
Yeah.
No one's listening now anyway, so there's no point talking about it, really.
No, definitely not.
Bye, everyone.
But if you are listening, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye.